ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जय मुदीरयेत् नष्टपरायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। ग्रंथराज भागवतम की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। विल बी रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 16 टेक्स्ट नंबर 19। द लास्ट वर्स दैट वाज रेड वाज टेक्स्ट नंबर 16। 17 एंड 18 डू नॉट हैव एनी पर्पर्ड सो आई विल स्किप देम बट आई विल रीड आफ्टर दिस वर्स दैट इज ऑन द बोर्ड। न यश्य माया गुण चित्त वृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो यण अपि दृष्टि रज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरन्हसाम् कस्तम न मन्येत् जिगीषुरात्मनः। न यश्य माया गुणचित्तवृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो यण अपि दृष्टि इज्यते अज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरन्हसाम् कस्तम न मन्ये जिगीषुरात्मनः। प्लीज रीड। न यश माया गुणचित्त वृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो यण्वपि दृष्टि रज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरं हसाम् कस्तम न मन्ये जिगशुरात्मनः। न यश्य माया गुणचित्तवृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो यण्वपि दृष्टि रज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरन्हसाम् कस्तम न मन्ये जिगीषुरात्मनः। न अश्य माया गुणचित्तवृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो यण्वपि दृष्टि रज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरन्हसाम् कस्तम न मन्ये जिगीषुरात्मनः। न यश्य माया गुणचित्तवृत्तिभिर् निरीक्षतो हि अणु अपि दृष्टिरज्यते ईशे यथा नो जितमन्युरन्हसाम् कस्तम जिगीषुर आत्मनः। माताजी न नेवर यस्य हूज माया ऑफ द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी गुण इन द क्वालिटीज चित्त ऑफ द हार्ट वृत्ति भी ही बाय द एक्टिविटीज थिंकिंग फीलिंग एंड विलिंग निरीक्षतः ऑफ हिम हु इज ग्लांसिंग ही सर्टेनली अणु स्लाइटली अपि इवन दृष्टि ही विजन अज्यते इज अफेक्टेड ईशे फॉर द पर्पज ऑफ रेगुलेटिंग यथा इज नह ऑफ अस अजित हु हैव नॉट कॉन्कर्ड मन्यु ऑफ एंगर Ramhasam, the force. Kah, who. Tam, unto him, the supreme lord. Na, not. Manyet, would worship. Jigipsuhu, aspiring to conquer. Atmanah, the senses. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. We cannot control the force of our anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction or repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although He glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining and destroying it, He is not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then he will be victorious. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always equipped with inconceivable potencies. Although creation takes place by His glancing over the material energy, He is not affected by the modes of material nature. Because of His eternally transcendental position, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead appears in this material world, the modes of material nature cannot affect Him. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is called transcendence. And anyone who wants to be secure from the influence of the modes of material nature must take shelter of Him. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanvitam Shyam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Namo Mahavadannaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurutvishe Namaha Vancha Kalpatarubhyasya Krapasindubhyayivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. The title of this chapter is Descendant of the River Ganges. Herein I will go with 17 and 18 verses also, that after this, Lord Shiva, he has prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, it's like Lord Shiva is still continuing the prayers to Sankarshan. He is the, he worships the Sankarshan. Like there is a Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha and Sankarshan, this quadruple. So he is worshipping and then saying Sri Bhagwan Vacha. So this word Bhagwan is meant for Lord Shiva, who is speaking. Om Namo Bhagavate Mahapurushaya Sarva Guna Sankaya Naya Nantaya Vyaktaya Namaiti. The most powerful Lord Shiva says, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you in your expansion as Lord Sankarshan. You are the reservoir of all transcendental qualities. Although you are unlimited, you remain unmanifest to the non-devotees. The next verse 18 is Bhaje Bhajanya Ranapada Pankajam Bhagasya Krasnasya Paramparayanam Bhakteshwalam Bhavita Bhuta Bhavanam Bhavapaham Tva Bhavabhavam Ishwaram. Oh my Lord, you are the only worshipable person, for you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the reservoir of all opulences. Your secure lotus feet are the only source of protection for all your devotees, whom you satisfy by manifesting yourself in various forms. O my Lord, you deliver your devotees from the clutches of material existence. Non-devotees, however, remain entangled in material existence by your will. Kindly accept me as your eternal servant. Now this 19th verse, so please repeat the translation after me. We cannot control the force of the anger. Therefore, when we look at material things, we cannot avoid feeling attraction a repulsion for them. But the Supreme Lord is never affected in this way. Although he glances over the material world for the purpose of creating, maintaining and destroying it, he is not affected even to the slightest degree. Therefore, one who desires to conquer the force of the senses must take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then he will be victorious. So, what has been said, that one has to take shelter of the Lord to control the senses. Lord, although he creates, maintains, annihilates, whatever he does, everything, really it is only the Lord whose activity is going on in the material world. We take it granted that we have done it, but although we desire, but all the energy, everything is done by the Lord himself. And unless we take shelter of him, we may choose something wrong. We may desire something wrong. So we have to take shelter of him. We have to depend on him and then ask for his mercy. We should worship him. So here it is so we cannot control the force of the anger. In Bhagavad Gita, about the anger, how this anger can be controlled, or there are few verses that I will just write to read from Bhagavad Gita, just to make it more understandable that why this. So there is one verse, Dukhe swanuk digna mana sukheshu vigatas praha vitaraga bhaya krodha istitadhir munir uchyate. One who is not disturbed in mind, even amidst the threefold miseries, are elated when there is happiness, who is free from attachment, fear and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. Means even if there is, like say, Krishna says in another verse, Matra Esparshastu Kauntiya Situshna Sukha Dukhada Agama Paino Nityam Tans Titikshava Bharata. That in the material world, one would have, just because of the contact with the senses, we get happiness, distress, there is cold and heat, somebody is elated, somebody is depressed. So there may be so many things, but one has to tolerate. And then depend on Krishna and his mercy. And some Bhagavatam, some verses say that one, a person who is not disturbed by onslaught of the material nature, happiness, distress, whatever comes in the way, and he tolerates and still worships the Lord and depends on the Lord's mercy, then he becomes eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. Istitha Muni means who is always in Krishna consciousness, for he has exhausted all his business of creative speculation. Prashant Nishe, Mano, means one who has surpassed the stage of mental speculation and he has come to the conclusion that Lord Sri Krishna or Vasudev is everything. Vasudev Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlaba. He is called a Muni or fixed in mind. Such a fully Krishna conscious person is not at all disturbed by the onslaughts of the threefold miseries, Adhidevik, Adhibhautik, Adhyatmik, for he accepts all miseries as the mercy of the Lord, thinking himself only worthy of more trouble due to his past misdeeds, and he sees that his miseries by the grace of the Lord are minimized to the lowest. And same way, when there is happiness, then he gives credit to the Lord. It is not because of his doing something good, but he gives credit to the personality of Godhead, that because of his mercy, I am getting these things, are favorable things for me. For the service of the Lord, he is always daring and active and is not influenced by attachment or aversion. Raga Dvesha. So when we have attachment for something which is very pleasing, and we get repulsion or aversion to the things that we don't like it. So attachment means accepting things for one's own sense gratification, and detachment is the absence of such sensual attachment. But one fixed in Krishna consciousness has neither attachment nor detachment, because his life is dedicated in the service of the Lord. Consequently, he is not at all angry when his attempts are unsuccessful. Success or no success, a Krishna conscious person is always steady in his determination. The cause of anger that has been given also in another verses, dhyayato vishan punsha punsha sangaste supajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhat bhavati samuha samuhat smriti vibhrama smriti bhranshat buddhinasho buddhinashat pranashyati. When we contemplate the objects of the senses, a person develops attachment for them, and from such attachment lust develops, and when that lust is not fulfilled, one becomes angry. So the cause of anger is that when our desires or lust is not fulfilled, one gets angry, and from angry complete delusion, and one gradually falls down in the material world pool, means remains in the material world, and there is no possibility of getting out of it unless one takes the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. So same thing on third chapter, that was second chapter that we are reading, again it is the same thing has been said, that Arjun is asking that why atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purusha anichhinnapi varshneya baladiva niyojita. Arjun said, O descendant of Vrishni, by what is one impelled to sinful act even unwillingly, as if engaged by the force, that even if he does not want, even if he understand that he will suffer by doing some activity, but still he engages in that activity and he knows that it is sinful. So even after that, what is that force that puts him into such activity that causes him to remain in the material world, that causes him to suffer, that causes him even in some material things, like materially he is punished also by the state and by other ways. So while living he is punished, and while after death he is also punished. So why, what is that force that is causing him to do that? Anyone has any answer? What is that cause or what is that force that puts him to such a difficult situation? He is forced to act. What is that force? Kaam. Okay. Yeah, that's true. Kaamesha, krodesha, rajoguna samudbha, mahashano, mahapatma, vidyamya, varinam. That it is kaam who is never satisfied. Mahapatma, mahashano, means ashan, means he eats. That whatever that it... he is never satisfied, and it's very, very sinful. And same thing that comes into, becomes a wrath. Kamesha, krodesha. That kam becomes krodh when it is not fulfilled. And the third verse on this again, it just says that as fire is covered by smoke, so a little bit like fire is covered by smoke, how you could remove that? Just blaze. Just like Prahlad Maharaj, he was in the mother's womb, he learned, and later on, just little bit, means he was Krishna conscious before. Narad Muni little bit said, and the fire becomes blazing again. The mere cover by the dust. Now it is a greater covering by the lust or desire, like a mirror. What you have to do? You have to take a cloth, water, soap, then you could cleanse it. Like Dhruva Maharaj, just by saying, like Narad Muni said, don't go, don't even just tolerate whatever has come. Your mother has insulted, there is no need to be so much angry. But still, he wanted to get the position better than his own grandfather. So that is the condition like that you have to. So he had to go through 6 months austerities and please the Lord. But it was not that a big covering. It was just like the mirror is covered by the dust. You just need a water, soap, some dry cloth, and you could clean it up. The third stage is very deep, dark covering, and that is embryo is covered by the womb. And so embryo is covered, the example that you could give. So how you could relieve him? Means although he's suffering so much, but just by your advice or anything, you cannot relieve him that from his suffering condition. So you have to wait till the pregnancy or for 9 months when the child is delivered, one has to wait. And same thing for such a person, like the trees and plants, one can chant. So this condition is compared to, in Bhagavat Mahatmya, there is one Dhundukari. Dhundukari, when proper time came and his brother Gokarn gave him the Srimad Bhagavatam, then he was relieved from this condition. So it's not that it is hopeless, even if it's covered. No, it is not hopeless. One has to take time and
time would come that when he will get out of this ignorance. So what is that, what is covering? It says that yathol beno vrato garbhas tatha tenadam avratam. So what has been covered? Knowledge. And what kind of knowledge? What is that knowledge? That we are eternal servant. I am not the material body. I am the spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, and I must engage in service of the Supreme Lord. And so that is knowledge has been covered, and that's why we become lusty. So if we are always conscious that I am servant of Krishna, I must engage in devotional service, and is engaged practically in devotional service and are in bhakti, then he will not have to go through all these stages of suffering or remain in the material world pool. And that's why this verse on 4th chapter, it says, being freed from attachment, fear and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they are all attained transcendental love for me. So, it's in more in that. So there are, so we have to get, there is three stages of attachment. The negligence of his spiritual life, fear of his spiritual person, negligence of his spiritual life, what does it mean? You don't care about that I am a spirit soul, I have to serve Krishna. Or fear of his spiritual personal identity. Why one is fearful of identity? Because in personal relationship in the material world, they see that if there is a personality, there is so much fight, there is really no love in the material world, and there is so much repulsion, everybody is taking advantage and exploitation of someone else. So they fear of personality, that there should not be personality. And that's why most of the people have become impersonal. That in the spiritual world, still there is all the persons, I have to relate to them, because the person can't relate. Everybody is selfish. And they want to take advantage of each other. And that's why he wants to just merge into impersonalism. And that is the conception that is called nirvishesha, fear of the spiritual personal identity. And the conception of void that arises from frustration in the life, that there is nothing. We just come because of the chemicals. At the end, everything is finished. Like the bubbles in the ocean. So many bubbles come. They burst and merge back in the ocean. So like that. So it's like voidism. And Prabhupada's main purpose, nirvishesha shunyavadi. So one is shunyavadi, one is nirvishesh, and another, that one become completely atheistic. He doesn't care that there is any spiritual life. And these are all from, so these all the three stages of attachment to the material world that we have to get rid of. And so one has to engage in bhakti yoga. And I will discuss somewhat what this bhakti yoga means, or what it meant, means little bit in, so bhakti, the word, that is bhakti means bhaj, and bhaj means to engage in service, devotional, and whose service? To the personality of Godhead. So there are different definitions has been given. These are not only just basic, but also higher and higher level. So please try to understand. Shandilya Muni is giving Paranuraktir Ishvare. Paranur, so Anurakti, Para Anurakti Ishvare. Anurakti means attachment, and Para means a special kind, or deeply, that one has to have attachment very deeply in the heart of that person to whom you serve, means the personality of Godhead. And this is without any attachment to anything else or place, that everything that you run towards the personality, means your attachment becomes so deep that you want to attain the lotus feet of such a person. Just like the example has been given, that a needle of the iron runs towards the magnet. And just like the creeper goes around the tree to embrace the tree. And just like the river that's running and flowing very fast, just like Ganges River. When it wants to meet, it wants to meet the ocean. And so like that, if one is attached to personality of Godhead and runs towards him, then that is called in a very special way, without anything caring about anyone else. Like example, caring about else, that Srila Prabhupada has also given that example of a young girl. She was attached to a person, and they wanted to meet across a across a mosque, and mosque was very, very big. So she thought to just climb the walls of the mosque and meet the her beloved. So without even seeing that inside the mosque, that King Akbar, he was reading this Quran, holy Quran. And so she did not see anybody who is there. Her aim was to run and meet her beloved. So she puts her foot on the Quran. She also even disturbs the king, and she goes to the other side. And then when this happened, king was disturbed. He asked his servant to come and bring that girl. She came in front, and then he immediately says that, you know, what is the punishment for this activity? Why did you do that? And she said that, yes, I know, I understand that I have put my faith on the... Now she comes to her consciousness when these questions are asked, and the punishment is death, that I also understand. But I have a question from you, that what you were doing. He says, don't you see that I was reading the Holy Bible, Quran? So, where your mind was, I was seeing you, that you crossed. So immediately she said that I was attached to a man who is on the other side of this your mosque, but you were thinking of the Supreme Lord and you are looking at me, are you? So how you were disturbed, and what should be the punishment for you? So king forgave him, her, and she left the place. So that kind of attachment that you don't see, don't really, what in your heart is so much attachment to the Lord that you run, that your mind is all the time looking to serve him and to meet him and embrace him. So that is Sandilya Muni's defining. That Narad Muni also says, Anirvachaniyam Prema Swarupam. This is in Narad Bhakti Sutra. That Anirvachaniyam, that it cannot be described, and Prema Swarupam. He is without any qualities, means without any material qualities, without any desire. This person who is that he is free from material qualities, means he is beyond the three qualities. Means he is not only Shuddha Sattva, not mixed with any another gunas. Then he has no other desire other than pleasing the Supreme Lord. And then continuously, and it increases at every moment. So guna rahitam, kamna rahitam, pratikshana vardhamanam, vichinna. So, but this describes, this talks about the form of the devotion. But it does not say what is its ingredient or what is the tattva. Tattva means from what substance it is made. Like mystika tattva kya hai? Tattva means element. When we say tattva, tattva se janna. So tattva means how it is made of. So how this bhakti is made of? Means it does not really say with this definition Narad Bhakti Sutra or Shandilya Muni, it does not tell that what exactly this substance is, bhakti. So bhakti is like, according to the Jeev Goswami has defined it more further, that Bhagwan ki ladini shakti ki vritti hai, that this is Krishna's function. Of the Ladini Shakti. Krishna's energy, one of the energies is Ladini Shakti, and it's a function of the Ladini Shakti. And what kind of function, that we will discuss about that. So how we could know that this is Ladini Shakti, means Krishna's Ladini energy, Ladini, Ladini Samvit, Sandini, Ladini and Samvit. So these are the, Krishna has Parasha Saktir Vividheva Shruvete, Krishna has multifarious energies, but why it is not Jiva Shakti? Is it our energy or our prerogative that we could get bhakti? Why we cannot get bhakti ourselves? Why we need to depend on Krishna's Ladini Shakti? So that has been... If it was there, that... One cannot even see without energy of the Lord. One cannot see, one cannot understand. Yamai vesha vranute tenaisha labhya. Means Shruti says that whomever he wants to give it is prerogative of Krishna, that he implants in the heart of that person this energy of the Lord, Ladini Shakti, Srimati Radharani, implants a heart in the seed, and that develops. So that is the substance. The ingredient or upadan, ingredient or tattva is the energy of the Lord, Ladini energy of the Lord, which he implants. And it is not by Jiva, and And one may say that there is three energies. We are the Jiva Tattva of the Lord. We cannot know Krishna. We cannot even move or cannot. We are really without the energy of the Lord. We cannot act. Even we may think. Thinking, feeling, willing is there. But it's not possible to do any activity without sanction of the Lord. So Jiva itself cannot engage in bhakti. Then it is not by another energy is the external energy. External energy remains far away from Krishna. So it is not by the external energy that bhakti can come. Then third energy is Krishna Swarup Shakti. And the Swarup Shakti is also of three forms. Sandhini, Samvit or Ladini. And we will talk about those also. So it is the Ladini Shakti. Bhakti eva nayati. Bhakti, the devotion to the Lord, that takes you to the Lord. Bhakti eva darshayati. We can see the Lord because of the bhakti. And bhakti vasha purusha, that Krishna becomes subservient or becomes captured by you by bhakti only. So, in that way, by this definition, that bhakti is the energy of the personality of Godhead. And bhakti is without any qualities, any material qualities. There is no qualities. What is prem? Bhakti means engaging in devotional service to the Lord. So that Krishnendriya Priti Ichha Tare Naam Prem, that if it is for the pleasure of the senses of Krishna, then that is prem. And Atmendriya Priti Vancha Tare Bale Kaam, that kaam is if we want to satisfy our own senses. So without gun, why there are no qualities? These qualities are of the maya. These three qualities, when we say sattva gun, rajo gun, tamo gun, even if it is a satya gun, these are qualities of the maya. And maya cannot come too close to Krishna. Maya even is afraid of coming. She is always on the backside of Krishna, far, far away. So by the gunas have nothing to do with bhakti. Means one may be in sattva gun, one may be in tamo gun or rajo gun. One cannot engage. Means you have to be transcend to these three modes. Unless you transcend to the three modes. But what happens when you take to the bhakti, then when Krishna enters, means you have somewhat attachment to the Lord, then he enters through the ear, like by hearing Navada Bhakti, by hearing and chanting of the holy names, by hearing his glories, Naam Gund, Roop Leela. Then he enters through the holes of the ears, enters into the heart, sits there and he cleanses your heart. To sit himself properly, he cleanses the heart of all these material qualities, means sattva gun, raja gun, tamo gun, he cleanses and one can sit there. So if you engage in bhakti, automatically all the qualities will come in you. Yashasti bhakti bhagavata kanchina sarver gunair tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto madguna manorathena dhavato sobahi. That is, he's engaging in his mind, he's running towards the desire of the mind. But one who is a devotee, he has all the qualities. But even if materially it seems good qualities, but they are not good qualities. Because he's running behind his mind, mind's desire. Now, bhakti, Krishna said, bhakti continuously, it goes on increasing. Bhakti ananda rupa hai, means it is, Ananda Rupa means it is blissful. It is very, very blissful. That it is not only nirgun and it is not only eternal. Means it never finishes. You start when you go to the next life. You start wherever you finish. And this is not, Ananda Rupa is not materially some pleasure that one gets in the material world or by bringing the senses to the sense objects. But it is transcendental. Blissful means it is beyond this material world. There is no bliss in the material world that you could compare to the bliss that you obtain from bhakti. And how much that bliss is, that we will discuss about that part. It is not a material anand. It is not even aprakrit. It is not even aprakrit brahmananda. Devotees, they not even want to get, the people who are in, even they are in brahmananda, but they don't, even the devotees, they don't want to get brahmananda. Here, in this alokya sarstik samipya sarupya ekatvam apyutaha diyamanam na grandanti bina mat sevanam janaham, that without, they do not take it. without serving me, bina mat sevanam jana, means without serving me or engaging in devotional service, they don't want to get this five kinds of mukti. So sayujya mukti, that is ekatvena. So that is clear that this bhakti ananda, the ananda that one gets from devotional service, is more than swarga, swarga ananda, or ananda from all these muktis, or from liberation. But even bhakti ananda, the bliss that is obtained by devotional service, is greater than if swarupananda. But what is that swarupananda? Swarupananda means Krishna. He has his own swarup. He gets his by his different energies. So Krishna, his own swarup, swarup shakti, he has his swarup shakti, and by his he is always blissful. But that bliss is less. Even by serving, Krishna does not get as much happiness as the devotee who serves him. He gets the happiness. So that is even greater than swarupananda. That's why he says to Durvasa, when Krishna is saying to Durvasa Muni, the dear Brahman, for the persons that I am their destiny, and those for this devotee, I do not even desire Sriji or Lakshmiji. He is telling to Uddhava also, you have heard, this is very famous verse, na tatha me priyatama atma yonirna shankara na cha sankarshano sarir naivatma cha yatha bhavan. The dear Uddhava, because you are my devotee, you are dear to me, much dearest to me, then even my own son Brahma or Gunavatar, there are three Gunavatars. What is this Gunavatar? Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. They are called Gunavatar. The mode of goodness is Lord Vishnu, mode of passion is Lord Brahma, and in mode of means they are in charge of these modes. Mode of ignorance is Lada Shiva. So he says that though they are not dear to me, even Lada Shankara, Priyatama, Atma Yonirna Shankara, Nacha Sankarshano. Sankarshan is brother, Baldev. He is not dear to me. And then Sri means my wife, Lakshmiji, she is not dear to me. And even Nair Atma means I am not dear to myself also. कहाँ तक हो परमानंद घन स्वरूप भी मुझे उतना प्रिय नहीं मीन्स ही इज हिज ऑन फॉर्म हिज ऑन परमान स्वरूप शक्ति दैट इज नॉट डियर टू मी एज मच एज यू आर डियर बिकॉज यू आर माई डियर डिवोटी. सो हाउ वन कैन से दैट दिस भक्त्यानंद आर द ब्लिस दैट वन ऑब्टेन्स बाय सर्विंग द लॉर्ड इज मोर दैट कृष्णा looks for that, means Krishna is hungry for that, and we will talk about that why Krishna implants Srimati Radharani or his bliss potency in the heart of his devotee. Why does he do that? Because when it's in the heart of, when it, that same devotion comes from the devotee, when it comes, then its sweetness increases. This Krishna is full of sweet. He is Madhurya personification. He has Aishwarya and Madhurya in completeness. But this sweetness increases when it comes through the devotee and it changes into Prem. And Prem is reciprocal. Prem is reciprocal. It's not just in devotee, but same way Krishna is also looking for that Prem or love. And just like in the oyster, when the Swati Nakshatra drops from Swati Nakshatra, then it becomes pearl. When there is one that, say like you are whistling, but when it goes through the flute and then comes the sound, that even attracts the person who is whistling, who is blowing in the, then it's even more sweeter than that. So that is another that you could explain, that even the person who is playing the flute, he becomes even attracted to that. Just like the milk is there in the cow all over, but cow does not get energy. But when you get the milk and then give it back to the cow, she becomes one. Although it is there in the cow, same cow, but when it is fed to the cow, that same milk, then she becomes hushed, pushed, means she becomes very stout and satisfied and but it is already there in the same thing like that a devotee, when he milks the Krishna in the form of cow and then feeds the Krishna the same juice, because we get bhakti from Krishna and then we put back again to Krishna, then what he feels, that is much more enlivening to him. Just like here, Sarvopanishado Gao, this is in the glorification of Bhagavad Gita, Sarvopanishado Gao, Dugdha Gopala Nandana, Partho Vatsa Sudhir Bhakta, Dugdham Gita Amratam Mahat. That Upanishad is like a cow, and then Gopala Nanda Krishna is milking that, and Parth is Vatsa, the calf. And when, so in that way, that milk is taken by Partha or Arjuna. And so that is, that kind of Gita Amrit is the greatest. So one should read that. So same way here it is compared that Krishna is a cow. If the devotee milks that and feeds to that, then Krishna becomes very, very happy. So how he becomes more pleasurable? So there are some of the example. So, but does the devotee becomes more happier by serving Krishna? How devotee becomes more happier? Can anybody can explain? I gave you some example. How devotee becomes more happier than Krishna himself, although you are serving him? And Krishna's senses are not satisfied? Also satisfied. But why does he get more pleasure? By serving Krishna. Our position to serve him. Okay. There would be some more example that I will narrate and so to understand it more. Because a devotee is a basis of that bliss. He becomes happy. And Krishna or Prem, and he is the Aswadak. Aswadak means he enjoys that devotional service. So Bhakti, Bhakta or Bhagwan, these three, so Bhakti, Bhakta or Bhagwan, dono ko usi prakar anandit karte. So the devotional service makes the pleasing to both of them. Just like the fire, if you have a fire in a pot, and it is very, very cold or winter time, then what would happen? The one who is going to the fire, he gets, and then the pot that contains the fire, he also gets satisfaction. The pot is Krishna. Pot of bhakti is Krishna. The reservoir of bhakti is Krishna. And then it comes that one, whoever goes to that Krishna with devotion, then he will also get satisfaction. So Agni, one who is going near the fire, he gets satisfied, and pot also gets warm, and he is also gets satisfied because of the winter. So bhakti shuddha swarupa hai. You call it rati, prem, bhav. Why we call it? So this is different vritti, that different engagement, different, that it goes through one stages to the next. They are higher and higher stages. But it's beyond these modes, sattva, rajtam. These are, and only one can attain to the bhakti when they are free or beyond these three modes of the material nature. Means beyond this maya. Bhakti, now, Jnan, Karma or Yog, what is the relation of between this Jnan, Yog, Karma, Yog? So, these three also they depend on Bhakti. Means you say Karma Yoga, or Karma, Jnan, Yoga and Bhakti. The purpose is different. By Karma, what do you want to attain? Material enjoyment or heavenly planets. By Jnan, you want to merge into the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. Which impersonal Brahma Jyoti is also part of Krishna, but it is not going very closely. You are looking from a very great distance, not knowing it in a perfection. So that is Jnani's aim is to merge in the Brahma Jyoti. Then yogis, they want to go to Paramatma, obtain Paramatma. That is also an inferior feature, that is not in completeness. Krishna expands into multifarious Paramatma forms in all the elements, in all the, even all the Jiva, along with the Jiva there is Paramatma. So there is Paramatma, but that is not the full form of the Lord. And naturally for devotees, they want to obtain Brahma. So means Krishna or Brahman or Bhagwan or Krishna. So Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardhan, Vancha Kalpataru. Krishna, ye yathamam prapadyante tas tateva bhajamyam. By the way that we, the feeling that we worship Krishna, Krishna also worships us, means he is also coming closer to us and shows us in the form that we are looking for. Yadrashi bhavana yasya siddhir bhavati tadrashi. Means there are many different sadhan form, but by karma we cannot obtain devotional service or cannot please Krishna. And by jnana and also jnana and yoga also depend on Krishna and not independent, but bhakti is completely independent. So now bhakti is it's everywhere, I mean it is like an at any stage there are three things that it has to be continuous at any form or shape. If you are in any even way are very sinful, one can get that in any stage of life. Like say Prahlad Maharaj, he was in the womb of the mother, he obtained bhakti. Dhruva Maharaj when he was hardly 5 years old. Ambarish Maharaj when he was very young. Yayati in his old age he realized after enjoying the senses, when he was fed up, he immediately realized that this is not good to engage in sensual enjoyment in life throughout life. And Ajamil got at the time of death. And Chitraketu Maharaj when he was in the heavenly planet, after death in the heavenly planet, then he obtained bhakti. So bhakti is also for people who are already liberated. They also want to get, because they are never satisfied. They come down again. So jnana and yoga are not eternal. But bhakti is eternal. And they all bhakti mukh nirikshak, karma, yoga, jnana. So in Narad Pancharatra there is another, in Bhagavatam also it just says that tesham asho klesheva shishyate nanyat yatha asthula tushav dhatinam, that Sridhar Swami is writing that people who want to give up their little bit grain that they have in the hand, and then they have a large hip of bhusa means where the grain has been removed, and then they try to get from them by husking it, then they cannot get any more grains. Grains are already been removed. So same thing, that if you work very hard to get knowledge or yoga, then it is useless to spend your time. You cannot get devotional service or your heart, which is really looking to satisfy the Supreme Lord, because then that way you get satisfied. It is not possible. So there are, when we say that four kinds of people, they never come to Krishna. Namam duskrino moda prapadyante naradama maya prata jnana asurim bhavam ashrita. But four kinds of people, they go to Krishna. Chaturvidha bhajante mam jana sukrito arjuna artho artharthi jigyasu jnani che bharatarshava. So who are those arthar and ardharthi? They are in karma marga. Artha means you want some wealth. No, artharthi are wealth. And you have some suffering, you want to get out of that. So artho and artharthi, they are karma margi. And jigyasu and jnani, they are jnana margi. So beyond this, so this verse is not that it is talking that they do worship Krishna, but to obtain something material. This artho, artharthi are to engage in the jnana marg. But that is not a pure devotional service. So Krishna also says that, so maya anyway, without Devi Esha Gunamai Mama Maya Duratya, that it is very difficult. So by remaining in maya, like karmis, they remain in the maya because they want to obtain, so they cannot get bhakti. So yoga, beginning of the yoga is not complete without bhakti. Yoga means you want to obtain union with Bhagwan or Paramatma. So Paramatma means yogi also, because Paramatma is a, even to get blessings from Paramatma or blessings from, or to go to Brahma Jyoti, you need to be a devotee. So there is some devotee, because without the mercy of Krishna, you cannot even become, go to Paramatma, or you cannot complete your yoga without mercy of mercy. Means to go to Krishna, so this, that's why the persons who are yogi, that is called Yoga Mishra Bhakti. Are also called Shanta Bhakti. That yogis, they engage, but that is called Yoga Mishra or Shanta Bhakti. But devotional service is completely independent. It's not that these are the steps of a ladder. We call it that this is devotional ladder, that you go from karmi to karma yoga to jnana yoga to dhyana yoga. One can directly take to a bhakti, and because it does, one does not have to. In the beginning, this jnana and yoga may be helpful to concentrate your mind, but later on, does they become like obstruction? Does this yoga or this jnana Are they really helpful afterwards in the higher stages of bhakti? Why? Why they are not helpful? Because there is some desire. In mukti, there is a desire to become liberated. That means free from all material entanglement. Liberation means to be free from material adhi, devik, adhi, bhautik, adhyatmik, or from janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. That is liberation. So one becomes, so then there is a desire. And if there is a desire, then that is selfish desire. And same thing, if one is like, so either whether yogi and you want to become, go to Paramatma, or you merge in the devotional service, merge into the Brahma Jyoti, there is always some desire. So Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, in Chaitanya Charitamrita is said, Ateva Shant Bhakti, Bhukti Mukti Siddhi Kami. One who is desirous of liberation or want to get Siddhis by Paramatma, by pleasing Paramatma, they are all Sakalya Shant, because there is a desire. So is it Nishkam Karma is same as Bhakti? The next thing, that there is a desire, but somebody who is a Nishkam Karmi, what is the difference between a Nishkam Karma and devotional service? Is both are same? Are they same or there is a difference? Yeah. What is the difference? Yes. Yeah. Devotee is not for any, right? He is still Nishkam Karma, we say. Karma means some activity, and Nishkam means without getting any results, fruits of that result. But in devotional service, it is out of love that he performs. He loves the beloved, and because of that love, with just means so much so that he just does whatever it is needed. Not that he wants to engage in particular activity, and we will discuss about that. So bhakti and niskam, savai punsham paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaje. So karma, yes, it is needed in the sadhan roop, it is helpful, but not in independent way. That yes, karma is there, in serving the Lord, karma is there. But that karma, tat karma haritosham yat, that karma has to please the Krishna. Swanishchistasya dharmasya sansiddhir haritoshanam. So is Varnashram dharma bhakti sangha in Vishnu Puran? There is. So we will come to that point in few minutes. Varnashramacharavata purushena parapuman Vishnu aradhyate panta nanyatattosha karanam. That there is no another way other than to please Vishnu by your Varnashram dharma. So how far Varnashram is helpful? By doing the Varnashram, how much it is helpful? And what is the purpose of Varnashram? What is the goal of Varnashram? Although Vishnu Purana says that pleases Vishnu. Varnashram dharma, ultimately by your engaging in your occupational activity, whether it is Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, or Brahmacharya, Grastha, Vanprastha, Ashram, their aim is really ultimately the goal. It is according to the Vedic injunction. Varnashram is according to the Vedic injunction. It has been given. But these things, ultimately one wants to, by engaging in Varnashram Dharma, one can at the most 1,000 times, if you follow Varnashram Dharma, you could become at most a Brahma. Means it is, the result is not really pleasing Krishna, but result is that one can enjoy in the heavenly planets or go higher up. But it is not really directly pleasing Krishna. Bhaktyaham, these are things are very beautifully described between Rai Ramananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They describe Bhaktyaham ekayagrahiya. So Varnashram dharma is not this is external. And that Varnashram, one should engage in Varnashram until you develop some detachment from the material things. And then when you develop faith and detachment, then tavat kurmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata mat katha shravanado va shraddha yavanna jayate. That when you develop attachment to hearing, chanting, navada bhakti, but particularly hearing Bhagavad Kathara, because to whom you love, you would like to know more and more about him. So when you go to that stage, then you do not have to engage in this Varnashram dharma. So Varnashram dharma is really, even you cannot get liberated from the material world. You could go only to the heavenly planet. So ye yatha mam prapadyante tas tateva bhajamyam. Means this verse just says that according to your devotion, you obtain the results in a different way. That tusti, So whatever sadhana, the process that you do, and according to your process, you get reciprocation from the Supreme Lord. But that is not, so Varnashram Dharma, your aim is to go higher and higher, to. So you obtain that and then that is finished. But Krishna does not become happy with that. But with this sadhana bhakti, means the hearing and chanting, then you become as if sold to the, means Krishna sells himself, means he becomes subordinate to his devotees. Vikrim nirte swamatmanam bhaktebhyo bhaktavatsala. Aham bhakta paradhina, that I am dependent on my devotees. So, by Varnashram Dharma, you please him and you get heavenly planet, because that is what you are looking for. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's why he told it, that it is external. And Nishkam Karma, what you will obtain by Nishkam Karma? Will you get devotional service? No. You will get mukti or liberation. It is not a prem seva. Nishkam karma, sakam karma, bandhan ka hetu, that is binds you to the material world, sakam karma, and nishkam karma, that at the most that you may be liberated from the material world, but you cannot obtain bhakti by nishkam. Nishkam karma is necessary, but it is to please Krishna, not that you just want to be attached to certain work. There is karmarpan also. Yat karoshi, yadashnasi, yajjuhosi, dadasi, whatever you do, whatever you you eat, whatever you give in yajna or in charity or whatever austerity you do it for me. So that is called karmarpan. And what happens with that? It is to really, you want, means first you have to surrender yourself. There is two things, that whatever that first that Sridhar Swami says, that iti punsarpit, that you first surrender. And then you engage whatever is needed for Krishna to do. That is the real bhakti. So nishkam karma that you are attached to, like this Prabhuji said, that you are attached to certain activity and you want to do that for Krishna without looking for any, but this is not a shuddha bhakti. Nishkam karma is not shuddha. Tat sukha tat tatparyamai. That tat sukha tatparyamai means it is for happiness of Krishna, not for your own happiness. Happiness of Krishna is tat sukha. Sukhaika tatparyamai. When we want our sukh, like that I want to do this, that will please me, that means you are doing for yourself. So tat sukha tatparyamai and swasukha tatparyamai. So prem seva is tat sukha tatparyamai, to the beloved that you want to make him happy. So that nishkam karma is jnana mishra bhakti, but it is with knowledge that you know you want to serve some Krishna, you don't want to satisfy your senses, but still Krishna is not that much happy. So nishkam karma, because it is, why it is, it is according to the shastra that you do, and then it is for to please to Krishna that you are doing. But here it is, what is the difference that this, in here, nishkam karma that you are doing, you do according to your attachment to certain activity. But and then you are surrendering, like here this verse, yat karoshi yadashnasi. Yat karoshi means you are doing it and then you are offering. You want to do and then you are offer. But first it should be you offer yourself and then you go according to the desire of Krishna. So if your offering is first, and that is what is Sridhar Swami saying, iti punsharpita Vishnu bhaktis channeva lakshana kriyate bhagavad adha tanmanne adhitam uttamam. So it just says that Vishnu arpita bhakti kriyate natu kratva pashyat pashyat arpetiti. That shravan kirtanadi now this bhakti, first you offer yourself and then you engage in these things. If we karma anusthit bhagwan karpun ke, first you offer your soul, yourself, mind, senses to Krishna. And then whatever you do, then it becomes for Krishna's satisfaction. But if you don't offer, if you don't offer yourself or your mind or your all the activity, your senses to Krishna, and then you first you engage in your activity and then you offer to Krishna, that means you want to satisfy yourself. So that is a very important part that one is to understand. Anasaktash vishayan yatharam upayunjita nirbandha Krishna sambandhe yuktam vairagyam uchyate. So if you give up your all the activity, karma means one may say that I will do activity but I will give my full, means the whatever it comes, but that is also the
result of your all the activity, if, even if you offer to Krishna. So here it says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Shranavajya. So is this the topmost? Aham Tvam Sarva Papibhyo Mokshishyami Masucha. That you are giving up all this religiosity, all this activity, and then you surrender to Krishna. Then is that is also not topmost. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said it external, not really internal, even after, although this is said the topmost verse of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, but where the Bhagavad Gita finishes, Bhagavatam starts. So because the fear is that he is afraid of pap, that I will be engaged, if I give up my duty, dharma means a duty, I will be engaged in some sinful activity. So let me be free. Aham tvam, this, read the second line, sarva papabhyo, that his aim is to get rid of all the sinful activity. Mokshishyami masucha, I will liberate you from all sinful activity. Moksha means liberation from sinful activity. So that is also not the, so atyantiki bhakti, the what is the soul or heart of the bhakti or devotion is that one should have atyantiki shraddha, that by doing this everything would be sarva karma krat hai, that by engaging in devotional service I do not have to worry about anything. And it is pranbhari prem seva, that we have laulyam api mulyam, that bhakti, that there is so much lalupta, so much intense greed to serve Krishna and please him, automatically you will be pleased, your soul will be pleased, because we are a part of Krishna. If we please our stomach by putting food in the mouth and stomach, automatically we are part of Krishna, we will get happy. And it would be more happy, as I said, that when that happiness comes, like when you whistle, it comes through the flute, then the person who is playing the flute also becomes happy and the sound comes very, very nice. So bhakti, the heart of devotion is that we have faith, full faith, adho shraddha, that beginning, atyantiki shraddha, that there is that so much faith that yes, I just engage whatever pleases Krishna. That example are the gopis, that even they don't care about, like gopis, Srimati Radharani, for themselves, what the local laws, according to what the relatives would think of, or what is the trouble that they have to go through, to cure the headache of Krishna. They said that, yes, take so much dust, whatever dust is needed, but even the Rukminis or Narad Muni himself did not give that. Narad Muni was sent by Krishna that I have a severe headache and it could be relieved only by the dust from the feet of a devotee. He was a devotee. Why he could not give? Even the queens of Dwaraka, oh, they were afraid of that if I put my dust to the feet, head of the Krishna, then we may have to go to hell. So we cannot do it. But gopis did not care about that. So that is the kind of bhakti, atyantiki shraddha and pranbhari seva, that you do with is, that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said in the last verse, Aslishyavapada ratampe nastumam adarshanam marma hatam karotuva yatha tathava vyodhatu lampato mat prananathastu sevanapara. That there is nothing, that whether you embrace me, means, see, like a woman who is like a chaste woman, and she does not see any quality in the husband. She does not compare with another man, oh, he's so nice. She just by the heart she serves, just to please the husband. That is the chaste lady's example, is she has to serve the heart by all mind, body, words, whatever it is, she serves the heart, just that this is my husband and I must serve. Without comparing, without comparison, competition, or any, or whether it makes, pleases her or not, she just wants to serve. And same way, whether Krishna is embracing you or he is rejecting you, he is not embracing. Mar matam karotva, he is hurting you. Doesn't matter. Yatha mat nath sa eva napar, that you are my master and I must serve. And if we could just engage in that kind of devotion, that Krishna is my Lord and Master and we serve, then that is the real bhakti. And if we engage, it makes Krishna happy, and Krishna is sold to such a devotee, he runs behind you, and that is the perfection of devotional service, is to be atyantiki shraddha. And balvati means laulyam api mulyam. What is the price for this? Is you have to have so much intense desire to serve the master, to please him, and that is the pure bhakti, and that is what Prabhupada has taught us, that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us, and so that is uttama bhakti. ఉత్తమ భక్తి. సో ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఇన్ సకామ్ కర్మ, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ఇన్ గివింగ్ యువర్ యాక్టివిటీ, ఇట్ ఈస్ నాట్ గివింగ్ ద ఫ్రూట్స్ ఆఫ్ యువర్ యాక్టివిటీ, నాట్ ఇన్ కృష్ణార్ మీన్స్ నాట్ ఇన్ నిష్కామ్ కర్మ. నిష్కామ్ కర్మ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి దేర్, బట్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫార్ సెటిస్ఫాక్షన్ ఆఫ్ కృష్ణ, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫార్ హీమ్ అలోన్ ఓన్లీ, అండ్ ఇట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ఫీలింగ్ ఇన్ ద హార్ట్, ఆర్తపూర్ణ హృదయసే. సో వెన్ దట్ కైండ్ ఆఫ్ హంగర్నెస్ హ్యాపన్, హంగర్నెస్ వెన్ వీఆర్ సో మచ్ హంగ్రీ, అండ్ దెన్ కృష్ణ ఆల్సో బికమ్స్ హంగ్రీ టు గెట్ యువర్ డివోషన్, గెట్ యువర్ సర్వీస్. వెన్ సీ లైక్ వెన్ యూ ఈట్ ఫుడ్, then you have to be hungry to test that, and intense like your desire to serve Krishna also, because he reciprocate, he will become hungry. When you have premai bhakti or when you love Krishna, Krishna would become hungry for your love, so much love, because so he will develop so much desire to enjoy your service to him, so much desire, and that will satisfy him, and because we are part of him, we are automatically get satisfied. So it has to be in Padyavali, there is more and more verses. So Bhagwan Art Bandhu hai, ve bhakt mein prem seva ki utni bhuk, jitni bhuk dekhte hain, utni hi unki bhi jatragni jaag ukti hai. Jatragni means fire in the stomach. So when we see that we are engaged in his devotional service and we have so much intense love for him, then his fire to enjoy that our devotion with increase, and he becomes so much eager to take that he can never be satisfied, means and to increase his fire in the stomach is to that we should also be have that much desire to serve him, and then if he engage in that way by shravan kirtan, then that is engaging in shuddha bhakti or pure devotional service. So Hare Krishna. Just I tried to give, and hopefully that there was some substance that you could take to increase your intense devotion for Krishna, then my singing would become fruitful. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So any comments or questions or anything? Yes. He is giving a microphone.
All over the world, in all Krishna ISKCON temple, many devotees are dedicated their life in serving God 24 hours. So between this dedication and surrender, what is the difference? What they are lacking? Means the dedication is different and surrender is still to be achieved?
Yeah, dedication, surrender, but desire to please Krishna. Always the aim is to please the Krishna, not pleasing our senses, not pleasing our mind, body, or I want to do service in such and such way. Whatever pleases Krishna. And how do you know that whether it is pleasing Krishna? That you will automatically be pleased. Your heart would be pleased. If you are still not, just like when you eat, automatically, tusti pusti, that you become happy, you become energized. Means your hunger would go away. So when these things happen, so you know it's not that somebody has to give you a certificate. When you eat, does somebody have to write you a certificate that you are satisfied now? Your hunger is gone. Hunger would be gone when you eat. Automatically, hunger would be gone. You will feel energized, and you will feel like energized, and your hunger would finish. Tusti pusti and shuddha nivratti. This automatically will happen. Same thing that when you engage in devotional service, when you feel completely satisfied, then you know that you have done properly. That is the way that you could. It's not that somebody has to label you, give you, oh, you are a nice devotee. That won't make him a nice devotee. It automatically dawns on you that I have done something substantial to please Krishna.
Thank you.
Anyone else, any comments or anything? Yes, so these things we read all the time, but I just wanted to give in a capsulated form that what devotion is, means you are already engaged, you are already doing it, but the heart should be that you should really cry for it, like just a young girl cries for the young boy to meet him. At least that much, means it should be beyond that. That is material and temporary, but example is there. And that much that you should have intense eagerness to serve Krishna. And automatically one would be happy. One may say that, I am not happy by doing all this, what happens to my family? If you are worried about so much of the family, children, your own stomach, your own desires, then you are not in Shuddha Bhakti. Then that is, it will come, but may come later on. You have to take more and more births to come to that stage. But that stage has to come. And so for a simple-hearted it is easy, but people who have some ulterior motive, then it is very, very difficult. It's not as easy. Okay, anyone? Yes. For others can listen, so you please use them.
Hare Krishna. Prabhu, whatever we are thinking, everything now, conclusion is that our activity should be intended to please Krishna. Whatever we are thinking or wants to do and any desire is coming in our mind, how we can understand that this work is actually pleasing towards Krishna? Every moment of our activity.
How do we know that whatever activity we are doing, is it pleasing to Krishna or not?
Or it is coming in our mind.
Also. Or whatever coming in the mind, is it for Krishna? Is he giving you that? Is that your question?
Yes. How we can understand, yes, this activity will please to Krishna? Before doing.
Before doing. See, first thing, if it is done in parampara, under the direction of the spiritual master, that is one way, and another that it will automatically, as I insult to the Prabhuji, that it will automatically please you. Just like by eating proper food, your appetite is like satisfied, you become santushed and you become pushed by eating, that you feel energy to do the activity. So same thing, that your guide to know whether you are doing properly or not is your own full satisfaction in the heart. If you are not still satisfied, one may say that that is like an ego, that I have done nicely, I am feeling happy, so I have done nicely. But the judge, it has to be judged by Sadhu, Shastra and Guru. So one thing, that whether is that order is coming, that activity you are doing, is it coming through some superior order? And you must follow if that order is for pleasing Krishna. And so from Guru you take that, it should be according to the what is in the scripture, and all the sadhus has to say that yes, it is, the activity you are doing is proper according to the scripture, means it should be in alignment with all of these three. Means the, your question is genuine, I agree that, and you have to have a tally with these three things, and also you ask in your heart, did I do the best of my capacity to please Krishna? Karmanana, mansa, vacha, means by your and your possessions. Are you, did you serve to your fullest extent by your activity, by your mind, by your speaking and by your possession? Have you satisfied Krishna or not? You ask from your heart, and if the answer is yes, if you are truthful, then if your answer is yes, then you have satisfied Krishna. So, first thing that you tell with Sadhu Shastra Guru, and then you also, if you do just whimsically anything, and yes, I please Krishna, but it may not be according to Sadhu Shastra Guru or Parampara, then it is not pleasing Krishna. Okay.
Hare Krishna.
You
mentioned that our attachment to Krishna should be like that of a chaste lady serving her husband, correct? Yeah. But Prabhupada also quotes that our longing for Krishna should be such that sometimes a lady who is very much attached to her paramour, in the presence of her husband, she serves him so nicely that she will not get any suspicion about her connection.
Yeah, but see, there is a motivation. I mean, she knows that I am cheating. So her chasteness is gone. If she attached to the paramour and does activity nicely, but it should be for the husband. And if it is somewhere else her mind is, then she is not doing with mind, body, words. She is really serving her husband in a deceptive way. So where is the chastity is not there at all. So you understand my point? That unless the chastity is there, she may be serving, but that is to cheat the husband. So if you are doing the activity pleasing Krishna to cheat him, he is the greatest cheater. He will know what you are doing. So your mind is somewhere else and you are serving nicely to the husband. So how it could be? It is. So she is not a chaste on the first thing. You say chaste lady, so the chastity is already finished. That is not there. And then there you have a cheating propensity. It is not according to Shastra, Sadhu, Guru, nobody. So it would not even satisfy. She knows that she is doing wrong. So it cannot satisfy her or to anybody else. It's a completely arrogant activity or deceptive activity, and that should not be entertained, and that is not bhakti at all. It is why Prabhupada is giving that example, that your service, that yes, you should do in such a way, that is just an example, that you do more carefully service to Krishna. Just like a person who's lady whose mind, but that is not defining bhakti. That is your service should be that you should really please husband, that there is no suspicion. Means there is no, your mind, see that example is, you are quoting a wrong example at a wrong place. Okay? So, okay. Okay. Anyone else has any? Okay. Granth Raj Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.